Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Seidelman, and I'm proud to announce that this show does not need a $700 billion bailout to pass in the House, which was unneeded. Morons. Anyways, we got 2 hours for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, two. Why? I don't know. It just sounds good. Because two is better than one.
Let's call it a season premiere and just have a good time with it, right?
That sounds good.
Holy shit, This is the second season premiere.
It is?
Because Wednesday, we had the second season premiere of WrestleCrit Musical Showcase. And tonight is the season premiere of the North American Wrestling Connection, even though we started in December.
So let's get some applause for that. That's big. Come on.
I lost the sound.
Ah, boo. Stupid. Here we go. And it's found again. There we go.
Please tell me you have the wind sound for when I get to my little thing. Alright, that's
in. And let me check to see if one other sound still works.
Whoa!
Okay, we're good.
We're all good. All right,
we're all good. Let's kick it off with our version of the. Well, New York doesn't have a baseball team in the playoffs this year. VRM.
Is Nick here yet? So I can say it.
Yeah.
Nikki, are you here? I'm here, but I have no comment at this time.
Nope. You're going to have a comment in about a second, because I am officially the host of the show whose soundboard was made high by an appearance. This is a confirmed appearance by Rob Van Dam.
Has this show happened yet? Did I miss it? I'm going to be very upset if I have.
Well, I had to delete the segment. Yeah, I deleted the segment because of the sound fail, but Rob Van Dam was actually on my show.
I hope you told him about me.
I was contractually obligated to play the wind sound anytime Rob Van Dam is mentioned.
Yes,
I believe that's on the good list. Yep, Rob Van Dam.
Okay. First of all, VRM, you just had the biggest wrestling orgasm that I've ever heard anybody have. No offense.
You know, and the best part is, my show isn't even wrestling related. It just has WrestleCrap in the title, so I'm guessing he just did a search for wrestling because he's getting his own show on Blog Talk Radio now.
He is.
Oh wow,
that is true.
I friended him. He's on my Blog Talk Radio friend list now.
Oh, God, I got competition.
I think I need to go look up Zenmeister. I've got a Blog Talk account myself.
Well, hopefully Rob won't smoke you, Rob, but, you know.
No, I don't even have a show yet. I'd like to be on his show. Stop that.
No. I'm talking about...
No, that was for Jason for the bad joke.
No, hey, look, more competition the better. We wish Rob the best of luck.
Absolutely. And like I said, I call into his show once I find out when it's on.
Exactly. Then we go to... Can I please do the introductions? Even though they already take like 3 minutes, we've already got over five.
3 minutes? Sorry.
Make that 6 minutes. Then we go to a place where they haven't had a baseball team win anything recently, Typho.
A place where no one follows me.
That's awful.
Well, they follow you, but they also follow your signature on WrestleCrap.
Oh.
Ooh.
The last week I could say that is next week, because that Saturday he gets to take it off because the 30 days would have elapsed.
You shouldn't have said anything. You could have stayed up for another 60.
It'll be a glorious day.
Oh, we can make another bet on it. And then we go, where you live? Jason, I forget where you live. You live in New York, Philly?
May I introduce myself? I am from the town where the mayor wants to usurp the power of the people and run for a third freaking term. Brooklyn, New York, and I am here. Jason Block. How's that?
Yes, the home of such great wrestlers like the Brooklyn Brawler. And finally, Cleveland, Ohio. Someone who lives in Ohio who's home to the 0-4 Cincinnati Bengals, the 1-3 Cleveland Browns, and perennial loser Cleveland Indians, Nikki Hammond.
Oh, man.
Oh!
It's nice to know that I am the only winner left in this state.
There you go.
Yes, because obviously the Ohio State University Buckeyes aren't going to the BCS championship game this year.
And USC spanked them so hard they deserve to not go.
Well, USC got spanked themselves by Oregon State,
who got spanked in the last minute last night by Utah.
I have two words for you, Boomer Sooner, big boys. I'm an OU fan from way back, so.
That was random.
No, watch. This year, it's going to be a repeat of last year because South Florida, who was number 10, lost last night, so we might see more top 10 shuffling.
Or who knows, we might see Brigham Young in the championship game.
Yes, but they won't be able to play on Sundays. True story. They can't play. Any team, all that stuff.
I gotta flip a coin on the validity of that joke.
Oh, okay.
Saved. So you just get this.
All right, fine. But,
well, big show tonight. Even though we're already wasting more time than what WrestleCrap Radio already wastes on a segment. We have a packed show. We have the SmackDown move to my network, which is on my TV right now.
You'll enjoy most of the show.
Very much so, yeah. Yep.
If it's starting to stink during the first hour, I'm switching to Deal or No Deal because it's airing opposite that. So my Fridays are screwed when it comes to TV viewing. We're going to do recapping all the shows because we'll have the time. We'll have the pick'ems, which means VRM, try to get hold of fourth.
He's not on AIM yet, so.
Well, we have 2 hours, so we have the time. But first, let's see, we have two from New York. We have one from Ohio, and we have one from Texas. So we have a Kalashaw, we have a Page, we have a...
I wouldn't call myself a Lupa guy. I'd be more of the Mariotti type. Sorry. I speak the truth, even though you may not want to hear it.
Okay, thank you, Mariotti. I finally figured it out. I can now assign everybody an around the horn thing.
Uh-oh.
VRM is a Donde. Stanley because he's in Texas, Typho's Tim Kalashaw. Jason, since you just admitted to being Jay Mariotti, you're Jay Mariotti.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki's Woody Page.
Oh, God. She's more Jackie McMullen, I would think.
Yeah, Jackie Mack.
Well, what does that leave Trista as? I thought Trista would be Jackie Mack.
Oh.
No, because I don't see Nikki as sort of old and curmudgeonly. That doesn't really fit her.
She have a little chalkboard
behind her.
Yeah,
give me about another 10 years.
So let's do this. That's gonna be a
now. Where were we?
Yes,
we're doing it around the horn.
Yes, we are.
And I have the format right in front of me. Why? Because I wrote it down.
Hooray! That puts us ahead of most shows already.
Ahead of mine.
Sort of ahead of mine.
Ready?
Let's do it.
Let's play.
All right, welcome to Around the Horn, the show of competitive banter, where we rate people on arguments and sometimes payoffs. Returning champion, Jason Block.
It's a pleasure to be here, and hopefully my title reign will be a lot more memorable than CM Punk's.
Hey, yes. Assessment.
Then we go to Texas, and we have Typho Kalashaw.
I need to brush up on my NASCAR, I guess.
Then we go to New York for VRM Adonde.
Well, Vince is going to be a little annoyed. He's got all these name drops. Or is he going to be a little happy about that from Impact?
And finally, just plain Nikki Page.
Who is still reaching for the brass ring just like Jeff Hardy, but I can do it sober.
Wow, point for her. Wow.
She's getting a couple of points.
Wow.
Thank you. I'll be here all night. You've been warned.
Ready?
Let's go.
Because I actually got these sound effects.
It's the first word.
Well, let's head off to TNA to start off with. Well, what do you know? Mick Foley makes his appearance. He comes out and announces that that Jeff Jarrett says he was TNA's greatest acquisition, which he debunked immediately. Kurt Angle comes out and confronts him, and Mick Foley states that he will be the special guest enforcer for the Jeff Jarrett-Kurt Angle match. In the long run, guys, will this all work out? And we'll start with Nikki Page.
This is a tough call, and you're going to have to forgive my ignorance. I have not been watching Impact. But with the arrival of Mick Foley, let's see. You're asking, is this going to be a long term thing for him?
Well, will it work out in the long run for TNA in general?
Yes and no. I mean, it's going to generate a lot of buzz, and it has. And it's going to get a lot of people to watch the show. The only problem is we're doing the same thing that we've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years with Christian, with Angle, with Booker T. We've got established names coming to TNA and not letting the guys that built this company to begin with shine. Sure, these established stars are going to be able to build them up. But are the guys that have been there from the beginning going to be able to get over?
Well, Nikki, Foley was putting some of the guys over because he came out during his promo after Angle came out saying he's the biggest thing and he carried the company on his back. He started name dropping. He dropped Joe. He dropped AJ Styles. He gave the rest of the roster a little bit of a push. Thankfully, he didn't push Eric Young with his. but it's already It's already been good because he's already got to put those guys over. It's going to get better, and I wish it was better because he was taking over for Don West, which Angle actually suggested, but they debunked it immediately. And the one bad thing I think that might come out of this is the heat that comes from Stanford because Mick Foley decided to pull out an old Angle line. It's true. It's damn true.
Hmm.
The lawyer's on the phone.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm gonna disagree with both of you, and I'm gonna say that this is going to be an unmitigated failure for two reasons. One, Mick Foley, in my personal opinion, is not physically able to do what he did 10 years ago. He is physically hurt. You see.
Everybody knows that, Jason.
Right. No, everybody may know that, but people want to see the Mick Foley of the Cactus Jack era. And the second thing, two words, Vince Russo. Vince Russo cannot write his way out of a paper bag. And the fact is that it's going to be the same creative bull that's been going on for TNA since he's been there. You could put Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H right in TNA right now, and the storylines are still crap. With all due respect to Angle, to Mick Foley, nobody cares about him being the special guest enforcer for Joe for Angle Jarrett. No one cares.
Yeah, basically, what TNA has got in Mick Foley is a guy who has been past his prime for about 10 years now. He's not going to be able to deliver in the ring for you. What's he going to do, guest referee every month? I mean, nobody's going to care after the novelty wears off of it. Is he there to put someone over? Maybe, but how many times can he do it before it just loses all its luster and just means nothing anymore? And plus, ratings went down a point with his appearance.
Well, hold on. About that point thing, we're going to talk about that right now. You also have to take consideration what stiff competition they're going up against. You had the vice presidential debate.
TNA fans don't like politics.
Plus,
I kind of
skip
it myself. Yeah.
And plus, we also are deep into MLB playoff time.
But you're going again, you're talking about the general impact. Nikki is absolutely right. The acquisitions of old, past their prime for the most part, WWE stars who are not being booked correctly is the biggest problem TNA has. TNA's booking has been so stale you could smell it from a mile away. It's Vince Russo's problem. Jeff Jarrett coming back is a nice tribute, but come on, the booking sucks.
Okay, now we got that all taken care of. The next question is I have down here is, let's look ahead about 4 months, and I think we're getting into their February pay-per-view.
Right.
And we're going to go talk about impact ratings. Can they break a 1.4? BRM?
1.4, I'm going to say that's completely out of reach. 1.2 is completely possible provided that Russo decides to, he finally takes some classes on writing. If they keep booking the way they've been doing, keep putting all the old names, keep putting Cage in the title picture, Angle in the title picture, they don't give AJ another title shot, they don't change up the tag team division because we've had LAX up in the top forever and the Guns have been relegated to jobbers, even though they're in the middle of a little bit of a heel turn, which could be good for them, but until they decide to do something smart, which is probably going to be a while. I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to say that they'll barely break the 1.2 by against all odds. Barely.
Typho.
1.4, it's way, way out of TNA's reach. They've been at 1.0, 1.1 for what seems like the last century, and they've thrown everything out that they can. I mean, Kurt Angle, Christian, Booker T, everything they could think of. They brought in, they tried Mick Foley now, they brought Jeff Jarrett back. Samoa Joe's been given a world title run. And it's going to get to a point where you're at the bottom of that list and there's nothing more you can do. And this, you're just going to have to face facts. You've got your core audience, and that may be it.
I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to say you could, but the fact is that they're going to have to do two moves that I don't think they'll be able to do, which is, one, go live. The taped format is a dangerous thing because people read wrestling sites and people read spoilers, and they if they think the show is crap, they won't watch it. And the second thing they should do is, as soon as possible, put the show against Monday Night Raw. Raw is a huge problem right now. The creative there stinks. And if you put a viable alternative right there, right now, Monday Night Wars 2.0 would be a boon for TNA right now.
Nikki?
I disagree with that. You can't put this show up against any of the WWE products. Despite, you know, we've got problems on both sides. We've all said that the writing on TNA is crap because of Vince Russo. Now you're saying that the writing is crap on Raw just because of the bizarre creative direction that they've been going lately. I disagree with that only because of Jericho Michaels, but we're talking about TNA here. 1.4 is, I'll bother.
No, keep on going.
1.4 is a bit out of their reach right now only because they need to start getting their people, moved where they have all this old guard is right now. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen, and it can't be done realistically the way it's being written. Their big seller right now, the Knockouts, are helping that exceptionally, but they cannot carry the show alone. We've got to shake things up in the other three departments.
And with that said, let's get here and let's go to SmackDown, shall we? They just debuted on my network TV, which is promptly playing in the background as we speak. They had a star-studded show to go on my network TV. However, the problem could be within some markets, they're not airing at 8 o'clock. They're airing at 7 o'clock because some my network affiliates have local news airing at 9 o'clock, like mine, which placed it against bad competition. Like a Wheel of Fortune, and this is just at the 7 o'clock hour, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy on ABC, infotainment shows on NBC and CBS, on the CW, back-to-back block of Deal or No Deal, and then 2.5 Men on Fox. This move bite them in the end, Nikki.
It's going to, because a lot of people are having enough trouble just finding my network TV if it exists on their dial. I can only watch it on one of the two televisions at my place because I have a cable box. It's like $189 way up there. It even disappointed me further when I clicked it on, said it was an ABC affiliate, then it's running infomercials. And I'm like, am I in the right place? This is really, really bad news for SmackDown, because this is going to kill their ratings as people are trying to find it. Also, I can warn you that there are some places that my network preempted. I have a friend in Boston who had lost his SmackDown because of baseball. So there is no priority for the show. So at least until November, as long as baseball's floating around, this could be a problem.
And when it comes to New York, when it comes to baseball in Boston, hell, they'll even preempt a Billy Graham special for Red Sox baseball. Jason?
I agree with Nikki. This is a bad move because, again, it all comes down to the fact that you want to see more people. The relationship with the CW wasn't a bad one. It's just that they wore out their welcome. What I would like to see, maybe, is you put it on another NBC Universal affiliate. You've got USA and Sci-Fi. Maybe you put it on a Bravo, or maybe you put it on a network where it gets more people to do it. Maybe the era of free TV is over for WWE.
Typho?
I think, yeah, first, this is going to be a bad move for SmackDown and for the WWE because, I mean, you've got people who don't even have a My Network affiliate in their town. So people who have cable or satellite distributors that are not picking it up. But eventually, they're going to get more clearances as they gain more steam. I mean, they're still a new network, pretty much. At some point, they're going to be available in a more wide basis. And once they are, SmackDown is going to be their flagship, and it's going to be their main focus because it's the number one episodic regular show that they're going to have. Unlike CW, who wanted to change their focus to their other shows and push SmackDown to the back burner and forget about it.
BRM? Yeah, that's the entire problem that happened here, is that CW wanted to promote other shows. My Network TV grasped on the SmackDown because it became the highest paid free agent. It was the highest rating show on CW. So now My Network thinks it's going to be their highest rated show. Problem is, you have a lot of networks out there. You have, I don't even know how many HD versions of My Network TV out there. WWE is priding itself on going to HD. We don't know how many My Network HD stations are out there. But you don't put up the NBC Universal is not going to want to put it on Bravo or something else because they don't want to become known as the wrestling affiliate. Because they've all, like Jackie already said, they've got USA, they've got it, they've got Sci-Fi, and so you've got two of your major networks. NBC, you can't put it on there because you have all your major shows. Bravo, I don't know how many people get Bravo because it's a movie channel, so there'll be some issues there. The only viable option left is Telemundo, and no one's going to want to watch Telemundo unless they speak Spanish.
Or got a good SAT button.
Okay, let's do one quick question to figure out. If you could pick any network for SmackDown to go on, where would you put it? VRM.
I would try and put it on Fox because Fox needs ratings out because they've been falling lately.
Tyfo?
Why not just put it on NBC? I mean, they'll run Saturday night's main event specials. I'm sure they could find some spot in prime time some day of the week for SmackDown to air.
Jason?
You know what? I think it would be, I would put it back on the CW. The relationship for them was not a bad one. It was not, the UPN, which is where they are now, which is where they debuted, is sort of full circle. I think the CW was a really good move for SmackDown. I'm sorry. They're going to regret, the CW was going to regret them pushing them away.
Nikki?
This is a bit of a stretch, and this might get some people in trouble, but I'd go ahead and bring it over to TNT. Turner wouldn't mind having wrestling back on his networks, even if Ted himself isn't involved anymore.
Wow.
Well,
hold on. Don't they have like a 10-year Camp Air wrestling thing?
I think it was.
Are we done with that yet?
It expired.
I'd still say TNT. We'd find a way. Nobody remembers, right? Right?
Does Jamie Kellner still work there?
No.
Okay, go for it.
All right, that works for me. We'll give Typo a couple extra points for the Jamie Kellner bash. As I adjust the points, Jason's looking like the Mets.
Oh, great.
In the cellar?
No, that would be the that would be the Seattle Mariners. Which
yeah,
ironically,
keeping my Rangers out of the cellar.
Which ironically, Jason's in the cellar. Let's go to the next round.
Okay.
Buy or sell?
Gotta love these new sound effects. Buy or sell time. Buy, sell, no bailouts. Let's go to SmackDown still, because we have their No Mercy pay-per-view coming up, which we'll discuss later on in the program. Their main event for that is Trips versus Jeff Hardy. They've been battling on and on, and they've also brought up Jeff Hardy's problems. Go figure. Quite simply, will this be a good match, BRM?
I'm going to buy this match because this is the match that This happened last year at Armageddon, and it was the best match on the card at Armageddon, I think, so I don't remember much about that card. But this is your two major faces on SmackDown. You're going to have interference from Kozlov. That's going to try to put him in a title picture. That probably won't happen too fast. But this is probably going to be Jeff Hardy's last major chance at actually getting the WWE title, because I don't know if he's going to screw up again, but this is just time to shine.
Typo.
All right, I'm buying this match because Jeff Hardy and Triple H, they're both very, very capable in the high spotlight matches. Triple H always delivers, no matter what you can say about him. Jeff Hardy, over the last year and a half, has been hotter than anybody. And they, like VRM already said, they delivered at Armageddon last year, so why not one more time at No Mercy with the title on the line?
Jason.
I think it'll be a great match.
Just one second. I will definitely buy this match because, again, it is Jeff Hardy, it is Triple H, and Jeff Hardy has a lot to prove because, with all due respect, he admitted that he was bombed off his behind on an airplane. He has to redeem himself not only to the fans, but to the people in the back, because if he doesn't, he will never sniff gold ever again.
Or Gold Bond, for that matter.
Yeah.
Nikki.
Absolute buy. I was at Armageddon, and I loved every second of Triple H Jeff Hardy. It was one of the best matches on the card. Jeff Hardy knows how to step up in a main event. Triple H, of course, is the main event. And if Jeff Hardy has a great showing against Triple H, win or lose, that raises his stock both up front and in the back. And just as a little bit of a minor spoiler, there is zero momentum marker for either of these guys. So we still got a coin toss to see who's going to walk out the WWE champion.
Well, let's go to the other organization. Let's go to TNA. We have Joe versus Sting, which is destined to be their main event for Bound for Glory. Seems like this thing is being built all around respect. Sting is trying to drill some respect into Joe. Joe wants Sting's respect, but he's got to make him work for it. Can anybody understand the storyline? Anyways, I just saw this making the Bound for Glory. This being the highlight of the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Typo.
I got a sell on it being the highlight. Will it be the main event? Probably, but.
Actually, it is the main event.
It is. Well, I mean, the highlights obviously is going to be built around Jeff Jarrett's return to the ring after a two-year absence and his match with Kurt Angle and the emotional storyline they've been building. With Sting and Joe, you've got the respect thing, but it's like it must be in Sting's contract that Bound for Glory every year he gets the title shot. The last 2 years he's won, so it's looking like another one and another very short title reign for Sting probably.
Jason.
No, it will not. I'm selling the fact that it's be the highlight because what I would love to see, it'll never happen, of course, is Samoa Joe actually just turning massive heel and hitting Sting over the head multiple times with a baseball bat because Samoa Joe has about as much momentum as Moss going uphill right now. His reign as champion has absolutely failed, and that is a sad thing because Samoa Joe is the best damn wrestler, one of the top five wrestlers in the business today, and it's a shame.
Nikki.
This is a huge sell. I really hate the way they booked Joe since he's won the title. What I've seen of it, he's supposed to be the face in this, but he's acting like a whiny rich kid thinking that, hey, this is all supposed to be handed me on a silver platter. That is 100% wrong. He needs to be the uber face saying, look at me. I've been here for most of the time of TNA. I am the best, and I want to prove that to the old guard. And Sting, unfortunately, doesn't want to turn heel. I don't blame him because Russo couldn't write it right if he wanted to. But, yeah, this is a big old mess. It'll be an okay match, but it's no highlight to the pay-per-view.
VRM?
This is an absolute sell. This is not a highlight match. It's a main event because it's a title. That's the only reason this is even close to being the main event is because the title's in there. Sting has been in the main event at Bound for Glory for 3 years now. 3 years, it's getting old. Hulk Hogan was the main event for how long? That started to get old until finally Warrior got the torch. Stone Cold was in the main event, it's starting to get a little stale. Things get stale when you have repetition. The storyline also, it's very confusing here. You got both are trying to act as face, but you've got heel emotions on both sides. It's probably one of the worst storylines that they could have right now. I sell completely.
Wow. VRM with that, distancing himself from the pack. Which he kind of deserves for that argument. Finally, we have some news out of New Japan and Takeshi Morishima. Turns out he had a trial with WWE. They weren't interested, so now TNA wants to try to bring him in. Obviously, they should probably bring him as like a type of Stan Lariat Hansen ordeal. Buy or sell this working out for TNA, bringing Morishima in, being like a Stan Lariat Hansen type of guy. Jason?
I'm going to sell this because Morishima is a Ring of Honor guy, and he should stay with Ring of Honor, with all due respect to WWE. First of all, WWE has not known what to do with Japanese guys for years. See Ultimo Dragon. See Taka Michinoku. See the guy with the big, I forget his name, Kenzo Suzuki, that's it. They don't know what to do with Japanese guys. TNA doesn't know what to do with Japanese guys. Steady with Ring of Honor. Big sell.
Nikki?
I'm going to call this a sell, only because I'm kind of worried that Morishima still has all his ties with Japan and Ring of Honor. Now, have you seen with Tomko, and you might start seeing with the Guns, they're going to say, hey, we've got all these other commitments, and TNA really hates that. When people say, hey, can we do this other stuff? Well, yeah, but you got to remember, we're the ones paying you the most. Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. I sell, unless they can get him on a dedicated contract, and I don't think they're getting it.
VRM.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this. I don't know too much about Takeshi Morishima because I don't follow Ring of Honor. But like you've already said, the Ring of Honor TNA feud, this is probably the biggest problem here because of this. I know you got great connections with New Japan, but with Ring of Honor, Takeshi Morishima is a Ring of Honor guy from what I know. So trying to make him get this commitment to you when he's got everything else going on, completely bad idea because he's going to eventually say, hey, screw you guys. I got to go do this. And they're like, well, screw you. You're not getting paid. Well, screw you.
I'm going to be different, I guess. I'm going to buy. Reason being is Morishima can be basically like Samoa Joe Part 2 in TNA. If you remember how well Samoa Joe was used his first year and a half to 2 years of TNA, just the absolute monster going through, destroying everybody. They could just have basically a do-over with Samoa Joe and hopefully not mess up like they did with Joe. Yes, he has connections in Japan. He has connections with Ring of Honor, but so did Samoa Joe. So if you can get him there, get him focused on TNA, you've got another machine that will get over without a doubt in my mind. So hopefully you get another Joe and not a Austin Aries or Roderick Strong.
I would say that typo is kind of right on this one. You bring Morishima in. You put him over like little people. I mean, if you take, you could easily put him over like an EY or a Jimmy Rave to start off with. Just make him like a complete badass and all that type. And who knows? You might get something good out of it.
Two words, Vince Russo, can't do it. I'm sorry. You know, you, as I said, Vince Russo is known to turn absolute platinum into absolute garbage more times than not. Sorry.
Same thing with Mariotti did with the Chicago Sun-Times. And speaking of Chicago Sun-Times, one thing I always want to do in my life is mute Mariotti.
No, no.
You know what that means, Jason.
Well, you know what? It was good while it lasted. Of course, I'll listen and see what your arguments are, because, by the way, you guys have been great today. So, I'm a little
awesome.
Off my
thanks,
game.
Man.
Okay.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks,
oh,
Bob.
By the way, Jason, you
yes,
like this consolation prize. We have the Temptation home game for you. Bye-bye. Oh, new elimination sound.
Ooh.
Bye-bye. You guys ready?
What's the score, Chief?
I will tell you that right now. VRM way out in front with 33. So he'll more likely go on to the final round. Typhoon Nikki will be fighting now for second place. And as I said before, Jason Black today was like the Mets. He's out. And we're going way out of bounds with this one. Steve Mongo McMichael.
Oh,
Jason is foaming.
I'm glad you muted him. He's cussing.
Well, anyways, it has been said by PW Insider that he will be the special guest referee for the Monsters Ball match. Am I reading this right? Steve Mungo and Michael in Chicago refereeing the Monsters Ball match. Help. Okay, seriously, ladies and gentlemen. Why? BRM?
Personally, I have no idea why you'd want to go jump into the Monsters Ball. Fully jumped into the Hell in a Cell in 03... when the little referee strike was going on, but with Abyss in there, he's a little mentally unstable in there with all the big guys fighting over trying to get the tag team title shot or whatever is going on in there. It's gonna be a hell. It's gonna be hell. It's gonna be a war zone. This is just bad idea all over. He will get bumped all over the place. He will face steel chairs, barbed wire, bats. I don't even know all the stuff that's going to be there, but it's just a bad idea. He's going to end up on the wrong end of something, and unfortunately, that wrong something is going to be an abyss with a black hole slam right into a bunch of tacks when he loses.
I kind of wish he would. I kind of wish Mongo Michael would be put in a thing of thumbtacks by Abyss. Typho.
Steve Mongo McMichael. Seriously? And if you wanted somebody from Chicago, from that Bears team, what was Jim McMahon busy? And does he have a big schedule these days? At least with him, you get a couple cheap McMahon jokes from not Don West and Knockout. What you got with Mongo is you got probably the worst member of the Four Horsemen of all time. Well, Chicago.
Wait. Worse than Paul Roma?
They're neck and neck, but let's call them co-worst Four Horsemen ever.
Okay.
Hey, well, maybe Paul Roma, if he's not busy, he can swing by and be a guest enforcer or something and watch and make sure Mongo's doing a good job wrestling.
Well, he's got a wrestling school. Yes, Paul Roma has a wrestling school. Nikki?
Oh, for a second there, I thought you said Steve Mongo McMichael has a wrestling school. But I agree with it. I agree with the Chicago Bears thing. I mean, I think it'd be more fun to have Fridge in there. They could even mock. Hey, look, we've got a Hall of Famer in this match. But was Slick Johnson injured or busy? I mean, this is just calling out to Slick to go in there and get thrown around and get to be a big man and get beat up by all the guys in the Monsters Ball. But do they need somebody bigger in Steve Mongo McMichael? I mean, I joke that sometimes the TNA is a who's who and who's that of WCW. But this is one piece of WCW that doesn't belong there. Mongo, run while you can because you're going to end up under every piece of hardcore implements they can find.
Yes, they should not have brought him in. I mean, come on, it's like starting up a wrestling organization with Ken Shamrock as your champion. Oh, wait. TNA did that.
I was going to say something about X-Pac, but that league doesn't exist anymore.
Bring something to the Bears and bring in Urlacher. They got the early game. He can swing. Oh, they're in Atlanta. Never mind.
No, no, no. He'd kill everybody. That's you don't want the rest to be tougher than your talent.
You know what, Nikki? That just saved you.
Thank you.
The Urlacher man should get you 2 points and eliminates Typho.
I mentioned Jim McMahon. Come on. Super Bowl shuffle.
Why do you think I brought up the fridge?
I hated the Super Bowl shuffle, so you're gone.
Yes. I live.
So it's Nikki versus VRM in a head-to-head showdown to determine supremacy.
I did not foresee myself getting into this showdown.
The supremacy of internet test-tier radio.
Bring it.
It's brought. It's brought.
Oh, God.
We're both going to get muted at this rate.
Showdown time, ladies and gentlemen. VRM. Nikki Haman. One goal. Victory. And 30 seconds to spout out your views. Enough of the full Western. Let's talk to Santino Morella. How about that honkometer? He's already up to 6.5 wigs. Do you see him going into double digits? 40 seconds, 20 seconds for each of you. Oh, you'll hear a small cue. You'll hear a slight cue, which will be this. That means we go to the next person. 40 seconds, we start with VRM going right now.
Well, this is just bad for me because I haven't seen the Hawkamina, but yeah, I think it might make several digits. I have no idea exactly what it is, thanks to me being away on the first part of Monday night because I had to do all my homework crap, so this is actually not a good topic for me, so I'm just going to cede this right over to Nikki.
Santino's got a great shot at 10 weeks, especially since tonight he mentioned he's at 6.71 weeks. That alone deserves to give him another month, and there's a lot more people that can come out there and mess with his mind. And Beth Phoenix isn't going to take it away from him, unless the girlfriend shows up.
Yes, because I would actually love to see Beth Phoenix winning the title. Point goes to Nikki. Now we go back to TNA. God, we're talking about a lot about TNA in this one. Sheikh Abdul Bashir, he won the title, and now he's going to defend it. But the question is, who'd you like to see him defend against the Bound for Glory? Nikki, starting now.
Oh, I thought I had a cue. I want to see Sheikh Abdul Bashir go back up against Petey Williams. I enjoyed the matchup. The two of them are very acrobatic. I also want to see the magic carpet ride, but I don't think they're allowed to do that on TV, are they?
Yeah, I want to see Petey as well because that is a good feel with it. But keep Creed as far away from it as possible. Put Sewell as the referee. I want Bashir versus Williams with Sewell as the referee. That way we can get Sewell involved somehow. He gets pissed off. He takes Bashir down. Petey wins his title back. I want Petey Williams.
Good point with the Shane Sewell reference. VRM gets the point. We're tied and we're going to DVD. The Edge DVD cover has been released. It looks sweet. It looks awesome. And the subtitle, A Decade of Disobedience. Must buy... VRM.
Yes, this is a great buy because, I mean, you're going to have the TLC matches. Edge invented TLC with the Hardys and the Dudleys and Christian. You're going to have all those matches. You're going to have probably the live sex celebration, the highest rated segment in Raw in the last however many years it was. This is going to have a lot of great matches on it, probably some great promos as well. This is a definite buy.
Nikki.
Sorry. Yes, this is an absolute buy. Even his pre-2003 injury stuff There's going to be a bunch of that on there. We're going to see a lot of what when he came back. We're going to get his side of the Matt Edge Lita stuff, I'm sure. There's got to be a little bit on there about that. We're going to see some of his spectacular matches, matching up with his brother, working with his brother. Sorry.
So both of you say the same thing. And around the horn tradition, I liked it the first time it was heard. So, VRM, you get the point.
Oh.
If you like RVD, you get the win.
Ooh.
Thirty-six years, VRM. Enjoy.
Let me say this. The TNA Knockout Division is probably the strongest thing out there right now. It's better. I think it's the strongest thing on TNA. It might be. It's definitely stronger than the women's division on Raw. But Taylor Wilde, she is not over whatsoever. You've got to get the title off her this next pay-per-view. You've got to put it either back on Kong or give it to Roxy. Roxy has been showing up a lot lately. She's been coming on strong since the whole shaving thing. I'd like to see her grow her hair out because I don't like to see her with the Molly Holly stuff. But, yeah, get it on to Roxy. That could be an interesting feud with Roxy versus Kong.
So, the words of wisdom from VRM. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next time. I don't have the around the horn theme, so remote control will do.
By the way, I have a very funny Steve McMichael story for you.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. If you remember correctly, WCW had free cars all over the place. And one year, my friend and I went to see the Goodwill Games. Remember the Goodwill Games? And there was a free card in New York. And I saw Steve McMichael come out. And you know that black jacket he used to wear? The black, the bear's jacket?
Mm-hmm.
I got to see that jacket up close. It had sweat stains. It was the nastiest looking jacket I ever saw.
Ew.
You know, it looked like it hadn't been washed since like 1983 when he actually was playing for the Bears. And the second thing about that particular card was the fact that first of all, Steve McMichael couldn't wrestle for crap. He still can't. And
could he ever just start to begin with?
No. So,
that's why he's just a ref.
Yeah. So he, Bill Goldberg came out, and let me just tell you something. That boy is big. He was big. You know? Big man. You know? But, and by the way, on that Edge set, that is on my wish list. Really good stuff. Good grief.
Three discs full of Edge.
You don't have to sell it anymore to me.
Not at all.
I've already got it reserved right now.
So VRM has reserved. Nikki is trying to hack the WWE website in order to get to it, to get an advanced copy.
Not so loud. They might hear you. And Joey's a tough opponent.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Agro. Thank you. Bought my dinner. Okay.
Share.
Now we got that out of the way. Wasn't that fun?
That was good. That was a good one. You got it. We should do it technically more often, because it was really good. It was a lot more smoother than the last time.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. We should bring in Max Kellerman.
Or bring in TJ Simers. Now that's an old school reference.
So, now what?
Let's talk about another DVD that's coming out.
All right.
Jason might like this one because it deals with some old school stuff.
Hold on. Yeah, okay.
The history of the Intercontinental title.
The read three? I thought this was already out.
I thought it was too.
Well, it'll be coming out soon. Three discs. Sadly, it's hosted by Todd Grisham.
Oh, well.
It's not required to be perfect like other DVDs.
Edge.
That too. I was going to make a Charlie Haas joke.
By the way, who saw Charlie Haas this week?
Hey!
That was the best. I loved the great Charlie.
Now that I finished my FaceTime, I realized I should have talked about the great Charlie.
That was just brilliant. That one, his Mr. Imperfect from Dave and Buster's last week at the previous Raw, and CHL. I am so happy I saw CHL in person.
There's I forgot to mention this. There was a Photoshop Charlie Haas thing when it came to CHL. Get him to sell stuff. There's a lot of him selling a basketball to Batista. Always gets a good laugh. There's also selling a thing of barbecue sauce to JR.
I think I've seen that one.
By God.
By God, that's my barbecue sauce you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
You've got great taste, son.
Where was the owner?
My God, he's broken in half.
Stone Cold.
Horowitz wins!
And okay. Batista with his Leviathan-like strength. Recent reference, and it's still funny.
Yeah. Just, I also like that picture that you drew. He was like a sea turtle?
Yes. For any of you guys who have MySpace accounts, go look up in my blog in Mickey's sketchbook. You've got to see the draft poster to give yourself a laugh about all the caricatures I did. The man is a Leviathan, so he needed to be a great big sea turtle. Rey Mysterio is a Chihuahua. CM Punk is a straight cat with a staple stuck in his lip. Kofi Kingston is a lion. Okay, Bob Marley lives. Jamie Noble is the smallest pit bull you'll ever see.
Cute.
And Kane is a hellhound.
Didn't know you had the art in you.
I'm a cartoonist by hobby. I've never gone around to try to make any money off of it, although I have had the honor of having some of my posters confiscated by the wrestlers themselves. Kofi Kingston has a poster of just him. Shad Gaspard of Crime Time took my CTC poster at a house show. Rosie, during the Heroes days, ended up with three or four of my Hurricane Rosie posters.
Cool.
And I've also received a high compliment from Chris Jericho.
Hey, Chris Jericho rocks. He can read the phone book. He's fine.
I remember reading somewhere when they were talking about his return, people would have been happy if he just walked out of the stage, smiled, and farted into the microphone. They said it would have been better than most Orton promos.
Sorry, it's just that Orton sucks.
I'm sorry. We know
that, but he's bad, too. Never mind. Anyway, but you know, it's just like I am not saying anything right now.
That's all right. I think we need to get on with the show here.
Yeah, the second hour, like all the recaps and the pick-ems and all that stuff. You want to do pick-ems first, or do you want to do the recaps?
We don't have fourth yet.
Oh, God.
Who knows?
And he's not on my list over here, so.
Nor I. But let me quickly talk about what's going to be on this DVD. The first Intercontinental title match, Pat Patterson versus Ted DiBiase.
In Rio. Sorry.
Next to this one in Madison Square Garden. Then we have Morocco versus Snuka.
Actually, I have the list here. You got Ken Patera versus Pedro Morales, October 80. Pedro Morales versus Ben Significant Morocco, Madison Square Garden, December 82. A lot of this stuff is Madison Square Garden stuff. It's like an MSG Classics thing. Magnificent Morocco versus Snuka in the cage in October 83. Look for Edge and Mick Foley in the audience. Greg Valentine and Tito Santana, Madison Square Garden, March 85. Lumberjack match.
That's on the Greatest Stars of the 80s DVD set, which I promptly own. It was the first ever DVD set that I bought.
Tito Santana versus Macho Man, Boston Garden, February 86.
That's a great one.
The WrestleMania 3 match, Savage Steamboat.
Best ever.
You put it to you this way, you could put that match on 25 DVDs, and I'd buy it every time. Then you had Steamboat, Honky Tonk Man, Superstars, June 87. Honky Tonk Man versus Ultimate Warrior, SummerSlam 88, or what, 10 seconds of it? And then Ravishing Rick Rude versus Ultimate Warrior, I believe in a steel cage, SummerSlam, August 89.
No, it's a regular match.
Oh, then SummerSlam 90 was the cage match when he was the heavyweight champion. That's right.
Yeah, for the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
This, too, is the 1990s. SummerSlam 91, Mr. Perfect versus Bret Hart. Great match. One of the best matches of all time, Hart versus Bulldog, SummerSlam 92.
And if you think you couldn't get better than that, Ramon Michaels in that ladder match at WrestleMania 10, which made the pay-per-view.
No, that did not make the pay-per-view. It was just the first of its kind. The match that made the pay-per-view was Owen beating Bret.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too.
Okay. Ramon Jarrett, Royal Rumble, January 85. Stone Cold versus Rocky Maivia, In Your House DX, December 97. Two falls, three out of three falls, Triple H versus The Rock, Fully Loaded, 98. And the Good Housekeeping match. Good grief. Jeff Jarrett versus China.
We have a caller. Hello.
Hi, I'm fourth, and I still think Nancy Grace is a man.
Hold on, I gotta do two sounds first. Two sounds. One, win for that comment.
Major win. Epic win.
And finally, this for the Good Housekeeping match.
And on disc three, we have Chris Jericho versus Kurt Angle, No Way Out. Again, it's Jericho Angle. What could go wrong?
Exactly.
Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Jericho versus Sean Waltman. I'm not calling him X-Pac. For the Intercontinental title, SmackDown October 2000. Triple H versus Jeff Hardy. Boy, where have we heard that one before? SmackDown 2001.
That was during the Ego Trip days, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy, Raw 92. Randy Orton versus Edge, Vengeance, July 04. Ric Flair versus Triple H in a steel cage, Taboo Tuesday.
Oh, be careful. That one's got an old man ass shot in it.
Uh-oh.
Money in the Bank, winner take all, Rob Van Dam versus Shelton.
From Backlash 06.
Yes.
There.
Shelton Benjamin versus Carlito versus Johnny Nitro. Vengeance 06. Umaga versus Jeff Hardy, Great American Bash 07. And it finishes with Jeff Hardy versus Chris Jericho, March 08. On Raw.
They better have some extras like Intercontinental. Like some promos especially we need some Savage promos.
Ooh, yeah. But now that Mr. Force is here, or do you want to do the recaps first?
We're doing recaps first, then the pick'ems.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to go to WWE Monday Night Raw. I could. So like how I did that? The old Monday, all right.
You need the siren after it.
Oh, you don't have a sound effect for it.
No.
Fail.
Well, I got this sound effect. Sparky!
Oi!
He's feasting on Orton shirts right now.
Good.
Especially that stupid RKO shirt. Dark match. Dolph's...
Nikki.
Whoa! He defeated D-Lo.
Boo.
I don't like that gimmick whatsoever.
Well, we don't
even wrestle a match yet, and I already hate the gimmick.
We don't know what it is, though.
He thinks he's...
Handshake
he said it a couple weeks ago. He's Dirk Diggler.
Well, okay, right, but... Okay.
So is his handshake his finisher or just his shtick?
You know, honestly, I'm waiting for him to just do a Waylon Mercy type thing where he shakes the guy's hand before the match and just starts pounding on him.
Still wouldn't get me to like the gimmick. I hate it already. Now, this makes me happy somewhat. Batista squashing somebody.
Ooh, who'd he kill?
Santino Marella. We had a new
title.
We had a new meter.
Uh-oh.
Bring on the brain scan meter.
That's right, the brain meter.
Yeah, that was funny. I loved it. Santino says the average brain has 6 trillion cells. I don't know if that's actually true, but Santino says his has 10, twice as an average human being, which is technically wrong, because it would be 12 billion. Think about the math, folks. And, of course, Batista has 12 brain cells.
Total.
Okay. He's going to knock them out because Batista's gotten on his bad side, and Santino says he's going to leave Batista in worse shape than the U.S. economy. Ouch.
Oh, beautiful.
And of course,
the difference between Batista and the economy, it didn't have to be bailed out.
Right. Well, you know, if you remember, that was the day when the Dow went down 800 that day.
Yeah, 778, to be exact.
Right. So then Batista basically squashes the honky-tonky man, so to speak. And then Beth is on the apron, and then, of course, JBL hits Batista with the clothesline from Wall Street.
I'm officially stealing that. It's where you trademark it.
No, it's not mine. No. That was Richard Trionfo's word, his words, not mine. So I stole from him. You could steal from him as well.
Okay. Stolen.
And of course, now I'm reading this, and I didn't see this because, of course, this was the Jewish holiday on Monday. But this is great. Todd Grisham is in the back with Sean, and I apologize, Rob, for taking the thunder here on this, but he asked about Sean's mystery partner, and he talks about Lance Cade, and then he said, who is this going to be, and they're talking about who his partner is going to be. Is it going to be a man who considers himself a real American? Maybe not. What about a Texas rattlesnake? Not really. And the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. And maybe not. Ow! Oh, my God. Sean, are you ever going to let it go? Ever?
He let it go. He at least didn't do it in Canada.
Okay. So, The Miz then beats JTG in a feud that, you know what, came out of nowhere that's actually not bad.
Yeah,
they claim the whole thing's being built on the internet, and they showed some of the stuff on it at the Raw in Cincinnati. it almost made me want to go to WWE.com and start looking up dirt sheets and word ups.
Find the rap video.
Okay, I want to see the impersonating each other, both of the impersonator episodes. Because the Crime Time doing the dirt sheet looked awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then we get a JB Noble versus Jillian Hall segment. And we have to know it again. She got another boob job.
They get any bigger?
I think she's like at a triple B.
It's a running contest between her and Candace to see who can become the most plastic by the end of the year.
Well, Candace keeps on injuring herself. She'll be made out of nothing but plaster, which is close enough.
No, I think Jillian misinterpreted somebody when they told her it was B flat.
Oh!
You can kick me off the show for that because that is horrible.
No, it's not as bad.
Then we get Jamie Noble and Mickey James beating Paul Burchill and Katie Lee, who are relegated to jobber status.
Who did Paul Burchill piss off? Seriously.
Pirates. They didn't want to go through with the incest angle.
Bully
went
for,
from a
bully
pirate
for him,
to a jobber.
Well, he did a pirate and he did a ninja. So I'm waiting to see if he's going to do a zombie or a robot next.
Oh, by the way, a brief word of note: Dolph Ziggler showed up in the Jamie Noble.
No, that would
you really hate that.
No. It would be the Pac-Man thing because supposedly it's about his, you know, his hoo-ha. So it would be, you know, that sort of thing. Right?
I think I have that. We'll upload it for next week.
Okay.
Anyway, we get a Team Priceless promo. Trying to talk to Kane. They sounded like the band from Huey Lewis and the News when they were trying to talk to Kane. You know, the sidekick guys from the guys from Huey Lewis and the News who were all goofy and all that stuff in all the music videos.
You talk to him. No, you talk to him. Let me talk to him.
Huey Lewis, huh? It certainly explains why Christian Bale was seen backstage behind Raw with an axe.
Oh, very good.
Nice. Whoa.
Nice American Psycho reference.
Yes.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm also going to give Priceless points for continuity, bringing up Paul Bearer when they were talking to Kane. Of course, that confuses half of the current audience, going, "What in the world are they talking about?" Well, you weren't here in 1997, were you?
Yeah, because the people who were watching in 1997 now moved on to something bigger and better.
MMA.
Yeah. There'll be a bonus point added to the No Mercy pay-per-view if you cash it on Saturday. Then we get to the tag team match. Kane, Cody Rhodes, DiBiase, and Manu defeated Mysterio, Punk, Porn, and Kingston. And the first part of the match resembled a Ring of Honor scramble match. It was a thing of beauty. Kane won the match with a chokeslam. Kingston coming off the top rope. Kane grabs him. Oops. Kane grabs him, slams him down, 1, 2, 3.
But it was pretty. It was
pretty, oh, yeah,
very,
very
nicely done.
Then we get... And here's where the show starts to go downhill.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Mike Hanley comes out. He told Kane earlier tonight he would grant his request if he won the match. So now, Kane Mysterio is now, if Ray loses, he has to unmask.
He's only got it half right.
I pray they don't do what WCW did and unmask Ray, because that was horrible when they did that.
That's why I'm saying they only did it half right. I insist that Kane needs something to lose, too, so that if Ray wins, Kane's got to put the mask back
on. Very good. Would have been great.
Yeah, but wouldn't that add fuel to an already smoldering fire?
It would add a little sizzle to this feud that they're not taking any time to build.
Good point. Yeah, and on that note, Randy Orton comes out and bores us to death.
Although I found out, you know, because, again, I was watching, and if you guys, by the way, did you guys see the SmackDown WrestleMania preview, the WrestleMania recap music video special?
No, I was busy watching Survivor.
Oh, you're talking last night? I didn't turn it on when I found out. Then I find out it's only an hour, and they were talking like they were going to show the whole, all of WrestleMania.
No. It was music videos, but it was pretty good. WWE does a great packages, and I'm sorry, I like Rev Theory's voices for Randy Orton. It's a great song, but he just sucks as a promo guy.
Sadly, his father wasn't much better when he was teaming up with him.
I got to get my alternate lyrics going on that song.
Oh, I should have made that sound effect of us singing. I have the show on my computer. We should. You and me were singing the alternate lyrics to Burning My Light. They try so hard to push you, but no one cared.
So you need to know our the AIM chat alternate lyrics. Fourth.
They're trying to find your porno, but no one can. The bathroom walls are hollow, you understand.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Think we found singers that are worse off than Jillian on this show, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just not trying real hard.
Me neither. JBL comes up, he's having a bad week, so he wants a... So he talks to Emily, tried to get himself the winner of Jericho Michaels, and has the stipulation that Randy Orton never gets a title shot.
Bravo.
Well, the last step should be added.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Then Batista hits the ring and just creams everybody.
Well,
please.
And then Santino is talking to Frankie. Who the hell is Frank?
I don't think it was Frankie. There was somebody, Freaky, on the other end of the phone.
It's just a sick kid.
Do you think he was polishing his sausage, so to speak?
Wait, he was calling Frankie? He was calling Toki Beware's bird?
Frankie died hard since he's dead.
He was talking to some sick kid that he wanted to go visit and make her feel better. I mean, him feel better.
Right.
Right. And then okay, moving on.
Yep.
Beth Phoenix and Jillian Hall beat up Candice Michelle and Kelly Kelly, and all was right with the world.
Well, yeah, but Kelly Kelly is rumored to be showing her Kelly Kellys to the world next March.
Oh, no.
Awesome. That's why she's getting a – that's why she got her push.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. I got the proper sound effect.
Whoa! I think the only thing – go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we all know how this is going to go down. She splays the goods, gets a title match at WrestleMania, screws up the joint, everyone hates her, she gets fired by the end of the year.
Well, we can only hope. I'm sorry, though. I mean, this is really bad for me because I'm 40. I could be her father, and it feels so icky. Yeah, you know? It just does. You know? It's wrong.
Now the other bad thing about this whole mess with that and Beth and Santino talking in the back, if they're teasing a breakup of these two, and we can't have this happen yet. This is still too good of a thing. Do not break these guys up till WrestleMania.
Absolutely not. Yeah, they just get yeah.
And you have Morella lose at WrestleMania.
To Honky Tonk Haas.
That would be awesome.
No, the ultimate Haas.
No, it's got to be Honky Tonk Haas. Bittersweet irony. Oh, the ironing.
And then we have the great Charlie, good Lord, versus Deuce. Okay, again, Jimmy Snuka Jr., not Deuce. Please.
And after that brilliant match, the real great Collie comes out.
grinning?
Oh, I'm watching. I got the SmackDown thing in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. It's just a diva match.
It's called. They couldn't remember the word lumberjills.
Yes.
And then we get Chris Jericho, Lance Cave versus Shawn Michaels, and I got it.
Who is it?
Are you ready?
Oh, I was ready.
Bam!
For the 40,379th time.
It's still good. I'm sorry.
It is. Or in the words of Shawn Michaels, it is.
Oh, right now on WWE 24/7, the announcing that Shawn Michaels and Triple H in China and Rick Rude were the Clique is on right now.
Hmm.
Oh, no. Not Michelle McRibs. Not the crappy butterfly belt. No!
McRibs.
Mr. Seidelman, Mr. Seidelman, take off your funny hat so we can blow your nose and just keep watching, all right? She'll get something better than a cheeseburger out of this match, trust me.
Cheer up, because otherwise there's going to be a certain guy with his tape waiting outside your front door.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy who interrupted from my show 6 weeks ago?
No, we're talking about a 7-foot guy with tattoos, basically saying, you know, it's not gonna, you know, you don't want that.
Oh, my next door neighbor.
That's beautiful.
Oh, by the way, DX wins
by DQ.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And Lance Cage, it's a feeling that makes you think he violated the wellness policy.
Wow. Oh.
That was by
is
the
that
way.
Right, Judge? Okay. You got it. Oh. If my thing would work.
Come on.
Win.
Let's talk ECW. Jason, you want to take on ECW?
Let me just pull the report up, and I will. Just give me one quick second. Sure. ECW opened with Theodore Long and Tiffany in the ring, and they brought out Matt Hardy, and then you had Mark Henry versus Tony Atlas, and basically it was another great Hardy Henry promo.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about. You know, Hardy is the underdog. Hardy is loving the challenge. And Henry says they can sell things right now. And then Miz and Morrison came out and started complaining how Theodore Long matched them against each other. And then Ricky Ortiz ruined their match of the year. And then Miz and Morrison wanted Rick the Nerds in the ring right now. And they made a 6-man tag of Mark Henry, Miz, and Morrison versus Matt Hardy, Evan Bourne, and Ricky Ortiz for later on in the night. Jack Swagger, who, by the way, is growing on me, squashed Lenny Lane.
Yay!
Lenny.
It was a gut wrench, powerbomb, 2 minutes, pretty much. Done, and done.
Well, I listened to how Lenny got his gig by standing outside with that great big Use Me sign.
Yeah. Mike Knox basically made Tommy Dreamer his, well, you know.
You can say it.
His bed.
Thank you.
And then Jack Swagger screwed over Tommy Dreamer yet again. Tommy, look, a little piece of advice. I don't know if you listen to the show, but okay. Go back to management. Stay in the back. We don't want you to see your career being ruined by being jobber to the stars. Agree?
You mean his career already hasn't been ruined when he had to eat stupid shit?
Yeah.
No. Most people have forgotten about that. Thank you for reminding us.
You're welcome.
Hasn't he always been a jobber to the stars, pretty much?
Well,
no.
Yeah.
And then Morrison, Miz, and Mark Henry versus Evan Bourne and Ricky Ortiz. Looks like, from what I'm seeing, is a good match, but Mark Henry, Miz, and Morrison won, when Bourne got slammed by the World's Strongest Slam at the 18-minute mark, and Henry and Hardy had a stare-down to end the show. Looks like a pretty good show this week.
Well, the match wasn't all that bad, and things got a little goofy at the end. Everybody started jumping out of the ring chasing each other, leaving Bourne alone with Mark Henry. Now, Bourne's an excellent wrestler, a wonderful high flyer, but Mark Henry's twice his size. Splat. I'm sorry, Evan.
Yeah, well, or Matt, as we know him better as.
Oh, yeah. I know Matt Sydal, but I will be generous and accommodating to his new name. Good Lord, what was that?
Not me.
Not me.
Yes! Beth Phoenix wins! Eat that, Michelle McRibs!
You might have to
she doesn't eat anything.
Well,
I told you
been
better than a burger.
Well, as far as I know, she's been eating Undertaker's protein, but that's another story for another day.
Hey, yo!
And she probably throws that up, too.
Oh, yeah!
We can end the show right here.
No, we got to have Mr. Mr. Seidelman, may I take Impact if that's okay?
I got it.
Okay, go for it.
I'm under the
Anthony Love versus ODB. After having her face spat on by what was that in ODB's flask, Angelina wins after interference from Velvet, who spat on ODB with the lights out. So we have ODB talking over Tracy Brooks. She gets rematched later in the night against the beautiful people. She can find a tag team partner. Tracy says ODB can choose anybody but Taylor Wilde, Rox Laveau, or Austin Carlin because they're in a match of Bound for Glory and they are protected.
And also you have Jeremy and Jeff talking about the Kurt Angle son interview, which could have been a work interview, you think?
Nah, never. They don't do stuff like that.
Oh,
no.
They never have people standing in the ring calling Hulk Hogan a bald son of a bitch.
Jeff Jarrett's out in the ring talking about him. He has an actual copy of The Sun with him. Actually,
he doesn't
point out
to him and Hustle. Shame on him.
Well, he didn't have pages 4, 3, 4, 7, and 8 because Jeremy Borash was in the bathroom with it.
And if you don't know your British press, you don't know your British press because I do.
Days to watch. Have I got news for you?
Well, no, that is true. But for those who don't know, The Sun is and still does, they put basically naked women on their third pages. And I mean naked women, topless usually. And they're called Page 3 Girls. And some of them have actually made celebrity-dom in England. But, yeah, that's why Jeremy Borash was taking a look at Page 3, 4, 6, and 9.
All right, and now with that comment, we have extended Jason Block's sexual innuendo count to 6 weeks.
Oh, stop. Sorry. Stop.
That deserves the angle sound. Please play it.
What angle sound?
Screw your boobs!
Thank you.
Fight me, Nikki. I say that with all love in the world. You know that, right? You're awesome. That's great.
That is your prize,
the best show ever, ladies and gentlemen.
That's your prize, Jason. Congratulations.
Thank you. He's the new kid. There you go.
If we can get Nikki Hammond to calm down, somebody throw some water on her. Bear, throw some water on her, for God's sakes.
He's not here, and I'm wearing a black shirt. You ain't getting anything.
Moving on. Jeff Jarrett said Kurt Angle was over in the UK to promote TNA, but aired the Dirty Laundry instead. Jarrett read parts of the article where Angle talked about what he would do if his TNA contract expires, also praising Vince McMahon, which immediately gets you automatic heel heat in TNA. Said that they had a father-son bond. Jarrett remembered 2 years ago when Angle thanked him for freedom from that hell. We get to see some very shocking footage.
Do we actually ever see this footage?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Okay.
It was like, whoa. Jared said he broke the father-son bond. Then immediately after the commercial break, Kurt Angle appears. And Jeremy Borash, the good stooge that he is, told Kurt Angle all about it.
And then showed him the page 3 girls.
And then Kurt Angle was like, Karen? By the way, isn't Karen supposed to be in Playboy sometime soon?
God, I hope not.
No. Ellie is. But anyway, we then had LAX defeating Chris Sabin and Alex Deli in a Monsters Ball qualifying match. Okay.
We'll talk more about the Monsters Ball later on. Then we have a rough cut featuring Lex Luthor, who talked about getting her head shaved and the recent match where she was cut up and bleeding badly from that botched chair shot. And then we get Borash, Cornette, and Angle. Cornette fines Angle $25,000, which to Angle is like a cup of coffee. Or being pulled over.
I wasn't going to say it.
Somebody had to. Next Division 3-way title match. Bashir, Jimmy Rave from The Rock, and Rave. Infection! Two splits I'll never be able to do in my life.
We love you, Sandusky.
Who wants to get infected tonight?
EY does, because he's wrestling.
Wait, is it EY or Super Eric?
It was EY.
Okay, good.
At the beginning, anyway. Oh, wait.
No, it was always EY.
Aw.
Well, Sheik Abdul-Bashir delivers the WMD to win the match. Of course, there is tension between the Sheik and referee Shane Shule, a.k.a. Glamour Boy Shane. And then we get a backstage interview between Cage, Styles, and Jay Lethal. Christian didn't want to talk, so he let Jay Lethal talk.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a six-man between Team 3D and Booker T versus Jay Lethal, Christian, and AJ.
Booker T whacks Jay Lethal with the briefcase.
Again.
By the way,
yeah.
What's in the briefcase?
Okay, when did Vladimir Kozlov and Maurice become SmackDown All-Stars? I'm sorry, SmackDown comes on later here for some reason. Preferably we don't have a My Network affiliate, so it's on the local Fox station, but go ahead.
Oh. Booker T will actually go with the briefcase, which I think has, like, a crown in it.
Or a brick.
Or a new WWE contract for Booker T to come back. Booker T gets what he wants. PWA gets turned to a developmental league.
That would be awesome, awesome, awesome. I just don't see it happening.
Styles does a springboard move, lands on Christian, which Booker T rolls Christian up for the 1-2-3. And then we'll have another Kurt Angle soundbite.
Screw your boobs.
Why are you porn?
Screw your boobs!
It wasn't a request, but thank you.
Kurt Angle busted into Jeff Jarrett's empty office and said, "When I find you, I'm going to stick that damn money up your ass." And do I even have to talk about the point and counterpoint?
Nah.
All right. Backstage interview with Abyss, Matt Morgan. They made a compromise. Abyss will not use the weapons. Matt Morgan will probably just use himself as a weapon. Then we get beer money in the ring.
Yay.
They're doing really well. They got the belts. They're making a lot of money. They're in the video game. Which,
Got a 2 out of 5 on X-Play.
That's generous.
I'm so glad I did not buy this.
Getting a 2 out of 5 on X-Play? Screw X-Play. Anyways, I'm just going to go through TNA really quick. It's now going to be a four-way Monsters Ball match for the title. And it's going to be Beer Money, Team 3D, Matt Morgan and Abyss, and LAX. And then ODB and our mystery partner versus the Beautiful People. Beautiful People lose out to ODB and Raka Khan.
She can wrestle?
Apparently.
I figured Triple H would be doing double duty as a mystery partner.
And, of course, Impact is going to be live, I believe, October 23rd from Vegas.
Yeah, Hard Rock.
Uh-oh, so what's going to happen? Is somebody going to accidentally gamble away the promotion?
Yes. All right, then we get to make Foley debuting, which, whoop-de-doo. Hey, Jabber, it was an absolute honor to stand in the same ring where Cute Kip just stood. And we already talked about this on Around the Horn, so let's not discuss it any further. And now we get to SmackDown. Actually, Capture Suplex Radio, which airs tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, WXUT.com, they do a review of the entire show in 7 minutes.
That's talent.
I'm going to do it in 2 minutes.
That's even more talent.
Ready?
Time yourself.
We start now. Rey Mysterio, Finlay, Batista, Jeff Hardy, they defeat King, JBL, MVP, and the Brian Kendrick and All-Star Man tag team match, which was a very good match. Jeff Hardy got the win via pinfall on MVP after hitting a Swanton Bomb. Santino Morello then comes out and does the Hulkamaner thing, which is at 6.71 weeks. And he says he's the greatest champion on planet Earth. Shelton Benjamin says differently. But Santino Morella beat Shelton Benjamin via roll-off and after R-Truth makes a distraction rapping in the crowd, which means he'll likely get a push for the United States Championship. Since Vicky Guerrero is up for the entry to sustain last week, Big Show is put in charge. She announces Chavo Guerrero will be put in a handicap match against, guess who? Mark Henry and the Great Khali. They demolish him. Then Big Show cuts a promo on the Undertaker. Last crowd, Undertaker appears in the ring and the Big Show runs away like a little bitch. Then we have a six-man tag team match with Primo, Carlito, and CM Punk versus Team Preslers, which comprises of Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, Manu. Punk got the win by hitting the go-to-sleep on Teddy Biasi. Great match. Then we have Beth Phoenix defeating Michelle McRams in a Divas Lumberjack match, which should be called a Divas Lumberjill match. Then we have the main event, which is Triple H versus Chris Jericho versus Matt Hardy in a triple threat match. Triple H gets the win over Matt Hardy by hitting a pedigree on him. And then Vladimir Kozlov comes in and attacks Hunter with that running head about to end the show.
Time.
1 minute and 15 seconds.
Nicely done.
Woohoo!
Still, I could have told you Triple H would win.
Wow. And now.
Wait, wait. Actually, no, I go.
Ready!
Ready.
It is now time for WWE No Mercy Pick'ems. Oh, and by the way, watch the Dirt Sheet. They are doing a, they're just bashing Triple H.
Oh, man.
Hmm.
Neither.
They get away.
And Mark Henry versus baseball bat. Okay, 7 matches, which is all straightforward. So we'll throw in an 8th match. A match that will be taking place on Saturday.
Huh? Oh, that match?
Yep. So here we go. Starting from the bottom, going to the top, as it states on WWE.com. Oh, by the way, if you want to call into Capture Suplex Radio, the number is 1-419-530-4455. That is on Saturday. I plug them because they are part of the WrestleCrap Forum Radio Network, which such other great shows like VRM. Do some plugging. Typo plug.
WrestleCrap Sports Digest, the show that had Bob Van Dam screw up its soundboard Wednesdays at 8.
At Tuesday Night Typho, the show that brought you the news that Shannon Moore is a world champion in Portugal.
And, again, my podcast has got the first episode in about 6 weeks, www.blockpartypodcast.com, which is a subsidiary of www.gameshownewsnet.com, your number one source for game show and reality competition news.
And if I'm up early enough, I'll probably be a part of We Love to Interrupt. Actually, we'll have some relevant stuff to talk about Survivor this week because I actually watched it.
But I have to just say, Sugar is an absolute dumb blonde moron. That's all I've got to say.
With a hidden immunity idol to her credit.
Yeah, don't ask. But anyway, let's get to the pick'ems. Let's do it.
Rey Mysterio versus Kane to start it off with. We will start with returning champion Fourth.
I think Rey Mysterio is going to win this one because I don't think WWE is stupid enough to unmask him.
We go to the winner of Around the Horn, VRM.
Yeah, if they remove Mysterio's mask, they're going to lose like all respect from like a lot of people. So I'm going to say Mysterio.
And we go to Typho.
Rey Mysterio wins. We don't need another No Limit Soldier storyline.
We're not even close to that. We go to Nikki Heyman.
Rey Mysterio wins because not only they would lose respect and support, they'd lose a ton of merchandising. Rey's keeping his mask.
Jason.
Sweep across the board. Rey Mysterio's keeping his mask for all the reasons. And it's just not happening.
Yeah, sweep. We get the women's championship match. Now, I repeat, this is the women's championship match, not the butterfly belt. The belt that has about as much meaning as the Intercontinental title, which means it has some meaning. It's the Glamazon Beth Phoenix versus Candice.
The plastic fantastic.
Good one. We'll start with Fourth.
Glamazon's gonna win.
VRM.
This has gotta be an easy match. Beth Phoenix over Can Glass Michelle.
I think we might have found Glass Jane to make up for Glass Joe.
Here you go.
We go to Typho.
Beth Phoenix wins and Candace breaks her arm in the process.
Thank God. Nikki.
Glam Slam Candy Wrapper. Beth Phoenix is going to kill her.
By the way, Jason Block?
Yes?
It's your turn.
Beth Phoenix, if they honestly put the belt on Candice Michelle, the creative just needs to be shot. I mean, Beth Phoenix wins in a romp.
I am going with Beth Phoenix. I'm going to sweep it as well. Beth Phoenix will win. Also because I hate the fact that Candice Michelle will be at Car Pros in Tacoma tomorrow at 4 p.m. I'm debating whether to clean my nails or go see her. The nails is looking pretty good.
No. Go see her while she's still intact. It's a rare sight.
At a car place? She might be in a wreck.
Like I said, get there early.
If I had a camera, I'd set up some place to see her get wrecked. Anyways, oh, by the way, No Mercy's in Portland and Raw's in Seattle.
And you're going to neither.
Right, I don't have the cash. Big Show versus Undertaker. Jason.
I'm going to surprise you on this one. Big Show is going to win this with interference from Edge, making his return.
Nikki?
I've heard that rumor. I'm still going to pick Undertaker. Edge just appears afterwards, or he's going to appear on Raw.
We go to Typho.
I'm also going to pick the Big Show because he's just going to destroy Taker because apparently Taker needs some more time to heal his knees.
VRM.
Edge returns from hell and gets his revenge on Taker. Big Show wins.
Fourth.
Big Show's going to win. Taker's going to do his usual sabbatical and come back and beat him later on. So Big Show's going to win this one.
I'm going with Nikki on Taker.
All right.
Batista versus Jibble. Or Man Boobs.
John Boobs Layfield, yes.
Thank you. And we'll start with you because you made the good joke.
If JBL gets, again, this is another creative shot. Batista's got to win this because they're leading to Batista Jericho. So Batista wins this. And hopefully George.
I don't understand why this is a question. Batista's got the game genie.
I thought he upgraded. What did he upgrade?
Shark,
no.
That's right. I don't know. Can the game shark write out JBL dies? That's exactly 7 letters. It should work.
I thought it was 8 letters.
Jibble. 8 letters? Okay, then there's an exclamation point at the end.
Right.
So, yeah, Dave kills JBL. There's really no question about that.
And Typho.
Title shot cheat activated. Batista wins.
Awesome. BRM.
Unlimited title shots activated.
Fourth.
I'm actually going to go against the crowd and say that the Mama Juana kid is going to beat Batista, who will fail to type the code incorrectly.
Ooh.
He'll type it in JBLDISE! Exclamation point.
Ah, crap. Clothesline from hell.
1, 2, 3. And I actually am going to go with Batista.
I'm surprised, but okay.
Well, you know how well the last pick I made with Batista went out. Might as well try again.
There you go.
Plus, I hate JBL more than I do Batista.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mark Henry versus Matt Hardy for the title. Who should I start with? Fourth.
Matt Hardy's going to win this one. I think he's going to have not really a long, long reign, but definitely longer than a few months. Definitely at least 3 or 4 months.
VRM?
He just got the belt to hold it to Survivor Series.
But Henry by DQ.
Okay, Henry by DQ. Typho.
Matt Hardy wins. It's too early for him to drop the belt back already.
Nikki.
Matt Hardy holds on to it, but it's going to be really, really close. Watch Tony Atlas, and if Jeff hasn't had his match yet.
Jason.
Matt Hardy keeps the belt, and actually, just sort of a trifecta here, pins him clean. Matt Hardy's going to get a win on this one.
Yeah, Matt Hardy will probably win it clean. In that case, I'll go with Matt Hardy. Well, at least one Hardy's got to win. Trips versus Jeff Hardy. We'll go Jason.
Although my heart wants Jeff Hardy to win this so badly, it makes my heart sing. However, my mind knows better. Triple H wins this, and I'm sorry, Jeff. But you brought this on yourself.
Nikki?
I agree. I hope this match is as magical as Jeff Hardy Undertaker for the Undisputed Title in the ladder match. Triple H will retain, but we're going to have moments where we're going to be sitting on the edges of our seats, holding our breath, saying, I'll be even happier if I'm wrong.
Typho.
But Triple H, yeah.
The man who wields the wellness hammer will not let this happen. Triple H retains.
Oh, wow.
Good one. BRM.
Yeah, this is Taker Hardy 2.0, I think. We're gonna, like Nikki said, there's going to be a lot of, like, holy crap! Oh, God, pin him! Moments in this match. But it's going to be... Again, Hardy Taker 2.0, Triple H wins.
Fourth.
If it weren't for Hardy's little incident at the airport, I would have said he would win, but I'm going with Triple H.
I hate to say this. I really hate to say this. Jeff, step away. You have so many problems right now. You can't even be trusted to hold the Intercontinental title or the U.S. title. If I was running an organization, I wouldn't put a belt on you in the state that you are in right now.
Wow.
I'm saying Triple H wins in a squash.
A squash.
Squash.
I just don't trust Jeff. And now, ladder match. Jericho, HBK. Jason?
As I said, Jericho Michaels is the feud of the year, by far. They've had... Nikki, count me if I'm wrong on this. About three matches this year so far? Is it three?
Let's see. The unsanctioned match. They've had a straight up one on one.
The one. So will this be the third one or the fourth one this year?
I think this is the third, actually.
Okay.
No, four.
Great American Bash.
Judgment Day.
Yeah, and Judgment Day, and
Unforgiven. So this will be number four.
Okay.
Every match has been spectacular. This one will not disappoint. However, Jericho will retain this, and Shawn Michaels will be injured enough to finally take some time off to get whatever he needs to get done before he makes maybe one or two final runs.
Nikki?
I'm going to have to agree with it, but again, this is going to be a thriller. This is going to be a show stealer because we do have the show stopper involved. Cade will be nearby. There will be ladders everywhere. Front row might want to duck.
Yeah.
Jericho retains. There will be extracurriculars. Michaels will be under ladders.
Typo.
Chris Jericho retained, setting up Jericho Batista at Survivor Series or Cyber Sunday or both.
VRM.
Yeah, Michaels is finally going to take this time off, finally get whatever he needs done. Jericho retains, Michaels finds himself in between a ladder.
Fourth?
I don't know, has there been any reports of Michaels needing time off? Because I just keep getting the feeling he's going to walk out the winner, but I don't want to be wrong about this one.
So what are you picking?
I'm going to say Michaels.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I am going to go with the grain as well and say that Michaels will not win. Jericho will win thanks to Lance Cade and Randy Orton.
I didn't think of that.
That's true.
And now the mystery match. Saturday night, CBS.
Very good.
Kimbo Slice versus Ken Shamrock. We have Kimbo Slice, the man who used as many sensors as in one episode of PTI as they used in 5 years, versus Ken Shamrock, the first NWA champion to ever be crowned at TNA.
And also the first champion of UFC, if I'm not mistaken.
You are right, the first champion in UFC, in which Woody Page was there. Some around the horn knowledge for you. He made the infamous quote that was on the first box. Beauty meets beast. Mm-hmm. Who wins? I will start it off and say that we'll go to our resident MMA expert, VRM, to start us off.
I want to say Shamrock. I would love to say Shamrock. This is his, hopefully, either his comeback or his last catch. It's one of the two. He has lost his last 5 straight, though. Two of which were to Tito Ortiz, one of which was to Rich Franklin. I haven't heard of the guy that he lost to in his last match. I want to say Shamrock. Kimbo is not a big name yet. He's a big name because he's been hyped as a big name. And I want to say Shamrock. But my better judgment says that somehow their EXC wants to keep their hype machine going. Somehow, some way, it's going to be Kimbo. I don't know how, but it is.
Fourth.
Like VRM, I want to see Shamrock, but Kimbo's going to win.
Typho.
I am going with Shamrock. I believe Kid Shamrock is going to expose Kimbo Slice. Shamrock's looked terrible the last couple of times I've seen him, like against Tito Ortiz and stuff, but he's going to expose Kimbo Slice, and Ken Shamrock will win.
Nikki.
Ken Shamrock, I've heard a little bit about Kimbo, and unfortunately I wasn't watching when Ken Shamrock was around in the WWF. I would love to throw my hands up and say Shamrock, but unfortunately Shamrock is going to be caught with his arms akimbo. Thank you for somebody laughing at that.
I wish I got that reference.
Akimbo is a word meaning splayed or around. So, yeah. So, I got it. It's the English geek in me. So.
And on that note, we go to you.
VRM, who did Randy Couture upset this year? Remember, he came out of retirement and won a title or won a huge fight this year?
Sylvia.
Yeah, okay. That's going to be the second biggest upset this year when Ken Shamrock knocks out Kimbo Slice. This is going to be the biggest upset at MMA this year. Mark my words. Ken Shamrock.
No, Shamrock is going to make Kimbo tap.
That'd be even funnier.
Oh, exactly.
Snap, crackle, pop.
I want it to happen. I don't mind losing the point for this. I want that to happen.
Oh, so do I, because I think Kimbo Slice is overrated.
And then Shamrock goes to the back, and there's a voicemail from Kurt Angle saying, "Stop stealing my stuff."
No, but...
And on that note, we end with one more soundbite.
Screw your moves!
Thank you for VRM, Jason Black, Typhoon, Nick Cameron, this is Robert saying good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys. We'll talk to you.
Adios, everybody. That was a great show.
Awesome
Thank
show.
You.
Awesome show tonight. Great stuff.
Yep.